Good morning. My name is Pastor Joel Prangy. I'm pastor at Amazing Grace Lutheran Church. It's a new mission start in Dickinson, North Dakota. The saints from Dickinson give you their greetings, and we ask for your continued prayers and support as we aim to start up a church out there in Dickinson. Let's start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your rich grace that you have poured out on us day after day. We thank you for allowing us to be here this morning to gather together to worship you. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit to prepare our hearts and our minds to hear and receive your word and allow us to do what you have called us to do in this world, and that's proclaim the saving gospel, proclaim the name of your Son to the world. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. It would be amazing to be able to do mission work with Jesus, right? I mean, I'm sure that when the disciples started following Jesus, they expected to be in situations that they wouldn't feel comfortable in or they wouldn't normally be in. But I'm not sure they were expecting the situation that's in our gospel reading for this morning. It had been a pretty perilous 24 hours for them leading up to this point. They had set sail on the Sea of Galilee, and over that night is when the huge storm hit and almost sank their boat, and they almost all drowned in the sea. But that's when Jesus, who was sleeping, stood up and said, "Quiet, be still." And the water was calm. And for the rest of the trip, I'm sure it was just like floating on glass, right? Just floating all the way along. And maybe some of them fell asleep while they were waiting for the journey to be done. But they were traveling from the northern side of the Sea of Galilee all the way to the southeast side. And where they landed is called the land of the Gerasenes. It's a foreign land, a land where it wasn't part of the land of Israel, and Gentiles lived here. There are herds of pigs, which is unheard of in Israelite society because pigs were considered to be unclean and they didn't affiliate with them. This is a land of wickedness, a land where God wasn't and pagan gods were. It's a land of evil. That's where they found themselves the next morning. I mean, you can imagine they fell asleep, and as the boat scraped up onto the seashore, some of them woke up. It was the morning fog was setting in on the beach and the shoreline. And you can just picture it, right? Like James and John get out of the boat, start pulling the boat up onto the shore. Peter gets out, starts unloading some of the provisions that they have. And as soon as Jesus steps out of the boat, Mark reports, they hear a shriek come from the distance. They all pause what they're doing, setting up, look around, don't see anything. There's that herd of pigs on the hillside. So maybe the shriek came from the herd of pigs. Very well could have. So they go about their work again, and then they hear another shriek, only it's a little bit closer this time, and then they see it. They all stop dead in their tracks, and they look up. Coming down the hill is a man, completely naked, with cuts all over his body, running full speed right for that group, right as they step foot onto the shoreline. Now, you can imagine it, right? Maybe James and John start pushing that boat back into the water, and Peter's like, "Come on, Jesus, let's get back in. Let's start heading off." But Jesus knew exactly what this man needed. He knew that he was the only one who could help this man who was running after them, running right for them, and he stood there calmly waiting for the man to show up. And the man eventually does arrive, falls down at Jesus' feet, and they begin a conversation. What would you do if you were in that situation? If you were in a foreign land, in a place that wasn't familiar, a place where you didn't really understand the culture that well, and this happens where a naked man comes running at you, covered in cuts, and falls down at your feet. That might be a silly question. I don't know how many of us are ever going to find ourselves in that situation, but it could happen. But that doesn't mean that the devil assaults us daily with his evil. This man was evil. He was possessed by evil demons, and he was running after Jesus and his disciples. And the devil assaults us daily with his evil demons as well. It's just not as obvious as a naked man covered in cuts running after you. It's more subtle, but it's still there, and it's still powerful. He assaults us by tempting us on a daily basis, tempting us in the quiet of our homes where we do things that no one else is really ever going to see, right? Or maybe out in public, he's tempting us to set aside the values of the Christian values that we know that are true and that are good and that are right, setting them aside because of societal pressures telling us that that might be wrong, or maybe it happens so often, we hear it so often that we actually start believing that this is right and this is okay in God's eyes. Or maybe he's tempting us with our own sinful natures. The devil knows what we do and the pet sins that we fall into time and time again, tempting us with those things over and over. The devil is constantly assaulting us, constantly trying to get us to fall into sin and to have a foothold in our life. And the man in the gospel that Mark is reporting is an example of the devil having a strong foothold in his life. We don't know how this man came to be possessed by many demons, but we know that this is the reality that he is now, and that the devil does have a strong grasp on this man through all of his demons. But we see how Jesus solves that. We see how Jesus is strong, how in the face of evil he stands strong, and that he has authority over all of these demons. We can see it in the conversation that Jesus has with them. Mark reports that when the man approached, Jesus said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." To which the voices possessing the man reply, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." You see, the evil voices inside of this man recognized where true authority and power lies, and it lies in Jesus. Make no mistake, these demons were powerful and strong. Mark reports that no man was able to overcome him. They tried binding him. He would break the ropes. They tried tying his arms with chains, and he would just bust through them. They tried holding him down with multiple people, and he would be able to overpower everyone. There was nothing the people around this man could do. These demons were powerful. They drove the man out into the graves, out to live among dead people, because that was the only place where he could be. He shrieked every night. The people were reminded of this terrible force living among them over and over every night as they heard his shrieks. But when they were faced with Jesus, our true Savior, they didn't argue with him. They didn't battle with him. They didn't try to fight over this man's body. No, they just were pleading with Jesus, saying, "Don't torture us." Jesus had complete control over them. He had complete authority over them. That's who Jesus is, and they recognize that as the truth. They didn't want to go back to hell, where they were condemned to be for eternity because of their wickedness and rebellion against God. They wanted to stay on this earth, be connected in some way to God's continued blessings here on this earth, however that plays out. And in their twisted logic, they decided, maybe it'd be best if, I know we have to leave this man because you commanded us to leave, but please just let us go into that herd of pigs over there. That would be better than just completely going back to hell and being there for eternity. So Jesus, in his wisdom and authority, allowed them to go into that herd of pigs, and what happened? Those 2,000 pigs ran off into the Sea of Galilee and drowned. These voices told Jesus that their name was Legion. A Roman legion was 3,000 to 6,000 men. The exact number doesn't matter, but what does matter is how Jesus showed his authority and his power over them. There was no question that Jesus was able to destroy this evil force in this man's life, and the people in the town took notice. So there was this man who came running down towards the disciples, crazy. And after Jesus drove out those thousands of demons from him, he was sitting among the disciples, sane, normal. Maybe one of the disciples gave him one of their cloaks so that he was clothed. Mark reports that he did have clothing. And when the townspeople came out to see this man, They saw a man who was sane, someone who was rational. This was that man. This was that neighbor who they tried time and time again to calm down as he got more and more crazy. This was the man that they tried to subdue in all the ways and eventually just had to give up and let him run to the hillside. This was that man that they heard shrieking and crying out night after night. Anytime they had to go bury one of their dead in the grave, they had to look out for this man who was living up among the graves. And when they came and saw Jesus and his group there on the beach, they saw this man sitting and talking. What an amazing testimony to the power of Jesus. The authority that the Son of God incarnate has over the evil forces of this world. And so the natural reaction to seeing that, the natural reaction to experiencing that would be to fall down, worship, honor, ask him to stay. But the wicked people of the land of the Gerasenes had the exact opposite reaction. They wanted nothing to do with this Jesus. Mark reports that they were afraid. They didn't want to be around him. They wanted him to leave. He was causing them to maybe lose some financial. They had some financial loss with the pigs running off into the ocean. They didn't want to experience or have him be around them anymore. And that's what evil does with God. The voices inside the man, the demons, the spirits possessing him, didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. The people of the town didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. And so often our sinful natures get the better of us, and we don't want to have to do anything with Jesus either. I mean, just look at the destruction that wickedness causes. Look at the destruction that devil causes. How many times in your life has sin torn apart relationships? How many times has lying and gossiping ruined trust in your life? Don't flee from Jesus. Don't flee from his authority, because he is the one who has the power over that wickedness, the power over the devil. And his power comes from what he did on this earth, what he did in his ministry, and ultimately what he did on the cross. His power comes from being true God, but also being true man when he bore our sins and suffered and died for them on the cross. You see, the devil wants to bring you to his side, wants to gain a foothold into your life, and then try to convince you that these things that you know are wrong are good. And then once you have committed those things, the devil switches and starts accusing you and says, you're going to die, you are a sinner, you don't deserve God's love. That's the way the devil works. But God and what Jesus did has completely destroyed those accusations. He's won victory over death. Death has lost its sting. Even though we do sin, even though our sinful nature doesn't want to do anything with God, and oftentimes we ourselves are falling into sin and not obeying God's commands perfectly, Christ has won forgiveness for you. A man plagued by thousands of evil demons, now sane, rational, in good spirits. And for us, once plagued by the guilt of our sin, we are now forgiven by what Christ did for us. That's that saving gospel message. That's the message that we get to bring when we talk about mission work, when we talk about going and proclaiming the gospel to people. We're bringing people peace. We're bringing people joy, the joy that the gospel message brings for their life and all the various facets of proclaiming that message. This man could now be a part of his community again. And us, we get to be a part of God's community. We get to be in a right relationship with God. That's the gospel message. That's what we get to bring to the world. But the people in the land of the Gerasenes didn't want Jesus to hang around. So Jesus, almost as soon as he got there, starts getting back into his boat. And the man that he healed all the demons from, the man who was now cured and sane, wanted to come with him. He had the right reaction to want to follow Jesus, want to stay with Jesus, but Jesus had a different plan in mind for that man. Jesus said to him, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. So now, this man plagued with thousands of wicked voices could use his one voice to tell the gospel story, tell people about Jesus. That's so often the way that God works with us. There are people that go and travel. There are people that go to start a church in North Dakota. Christians who would go travel across the seas, over the seas, to start missions in foreign countries. And we praise God for those people. And we need those people to go and bring churches. After all, this church was started by a missionary, right, at some point. And you are hearing the gospel, and the gospel is being proclaimed to you through this church. But so often, God works in our lives by telling us to go to our hometowns and proclaim that message. Go to your neighbors, go to your family members, go to your friends and tell them about that gospel joy that you have, the peace that you have, how God brought you from your wicked ways and delivered you from the guilt of your sins, and that the devil who accuses us over and over again, and even accuses people who are unbelievers too, that they're guilty and they don't deserve God's love, tell them that they have God's love because of what Christ did for them. That's what Jesus charged this man to do. He went to the Decapolis, which is a group of 10 cities, and he proclaimed the truth about Jesus. And this man had only seen one miracle performed by Jesus, the healing of him. We have the entire scriptures, all the miracles of Jesus, the whole counsel that God has given to us to proclaim to our neighbors, the people around us. That's what God has called us to do as Christians. Jesus did leave. But later on in his ministry, he comes back to this area. And it's assumed that this man went out and told people. I mean, it says that they were amazed in Mark. And when he comes back, he was healing people. He was teaching people. Large crowds gathered around him. This is his second miraculous feeding, where he had to feed 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. Likely all because this man was running around telling people, you will not believe what this man who landed on the beach did for me. How he drove all these demons, how he had these witnesses of the things that happened. This man proclaimed the gospel with his one voice, so now many more voices can tell their neighbors and their friends about who Jesus is. And that's the way we work. God has called you to join in the chorus of voices proclaiming his gospel to the world. Whether it be at a new mission start or at this established church, you know someone who needs to hear the saving gospel message. Go and proclaim that message to them. Use the many voices that God has called to proclaim about the one true Savior. Yes, it would have been amazing to do mission work with Jesus here on this earth, but you get to do mission work with Jesus every single day, because he promised when he was ascending into heaven that all authority on heaven and earth had been given to him. Then he charged his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything that he has commanded them. And then he promised, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It is amazing that we get to do mission work with Jesus and use our many voices to proclaim the one Savior. Amen.